the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. To the Church of God that is on 204 North Little Texas Road in Kannapolis. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear saints, our text for the meditation today will be from our epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, especially verses 4 through 9. Good theology, dear saints, pays attention to the verbs. That is, who is the actor? And what is that action that they're doing? And who is the acted upon? And what is that action? So there's two main verbs. There are the active verbs, and then there are the passive verbs. So for example, in football, a quarterback throws, and a receiver is thrown to. They aren't receiving. That would be an action verb. But the quarterback throws, and a receiver is thrown to. So pay attention to the two actions. There's only two actions that our epistle calls us to, and it is fantastic. The only two actions that the Christian is called to in the specific reading of this, in this specific section, is to give thanks and to wait. Everything else is passive. That is, somebody else is doing, and that someone is God, our Lord Jesus, the actor in everything. So listen once again to our reading. I give thanks, one of the only active verbs in all of this, to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given. Grace was given by God to you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Corinthian congregation is a mess. It is a disaster. If you think you have complaints about a congregation in your past, then just read 1 Corinthians and you will probably feel better about that congregation. Boy, did they need to hear it. They needed reproved. They needed rebuked. Many of the individuals and the church as a whole needed to hear it. There were some who were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. There were some who were denying the resurrection. There was a man who was committing incest with his father's wife, and the congregation did nothing about it. The services were in all sorts of disorderliness, being disrupted all the time. They too often thought it was their church. Hence, the very first words of the entire epistle is to the church of God that is in Christ Jesus. And they too often trusted in their own wisdom. And so one theme throughout the epistle is that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. They were following their own spiritual inclinations, not testing to see if it was from the Holy Spirit, testing to see maybe this was from an unclean spirit or maybe this was just from my own selfish nature. They were a mess. And boy, did they need to hear it. So picture this. It's as if you're the big brother. And you know that your little brother is going to be in big trouble. And you can't wait for mom or dad to come home and stick it to him. And all of a sudden, mom and dad come home, and the very first words that they say are, "I love you." To a congregation that needs to have it heard, boy, they need reproof. Boy, they need rebuke. These are the first words that come right after the greeting. Paul is going to say, "I thank my God always for you." Really? That's what you want to do, Paul? To a congregation that needed to hear it and reprove or rebuke, the first thing that you're going to do is thank God for them? That they, the grace of God was given to them in Christ Jesus, that in every way they were enriched in him, in all speech and in all knowledge. If you could take everything that was wrong with the Corinthian congregation and summarize it in two words, it would be in speech and in knowledge. And the first thing that Paul does after calling them saints, after calling them forgiven, after calling them pure and holy in Christ Jesus, is he thanks God for their speech and for their knowledge, that God enriched them. And we do the same for each other today. I do it for you, and you do it for me. We thank God that he has enriched us in our speech and in our knowledge. So if you can sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know," then God be praised for your knowledge, and God be praised for your speech. If you can begin to answer the question that Jesus is asked, "What is the law?" And you know that the law begins, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." If you can begin to answer the question, "Whose son is the Christ?" as he is both David's son and he is both David's Lord. David's son, because he is born of the Virgin Mary. He is true man. David's Lord, because he is begotten of the Father from all eternity. If you can begin to answer that with your mouth and you know that in your heart, then you have been enriched in your speech and in your knowledge. And Paul thanks God for that. Paul thanks God that God is the actor in everything that is necessary in the most important and comforting way. Speech and knowledge. They go together. So consider this. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Speech and confession, knowledge, they go together. What comes out of your mouth shows what you believe in your heart. And it shows us why it is so hard to control the tongue. Because it is impossible to control the heart. We who are rich in God, who know the love of God, who know that he is the actor in everything, who have amazing promises for us. God is faithful, by whom you were called. We know this. We still have a heart that is prone to grasp at the things that will not satisfy. We still have a heart that is prone to not believe his promises, to believe that vengeance doesn't belong to him, but that vengeance belongs to me. And with this comes the things that come out of our mouths, our complaining, our grumbling, our worry, our anger, our crude or obscene talk with others. What is believed in the heart comes out with the mouth. And so consider the poverty of your heart, dear saints. Consider the poverty of your speech as you are speaking with others, as you say things. And consider the people that you love the most and their heart and their mouth? And do you have any reason to not be like Paul and say, I thank God that it isn't up to me to save them or to save myself? I thank God that He is the verb man. He is the actor. And that we are the acted upon. And that so are my family. And so are my friends. And so is my congregation. So many of the ones that I love. That God is the one who did the acting. Who does the acting. And will continue to do the acting. If you take all of the verbs that this passage has for us and you break it down, you see, dear saints, that it is God who did the acting in the past. You see, grace was given. You were enriched. You were called. God was very involved in your friends and your families and in your heart in yesterday. And God is the one who is doing the acting now. Grace to you and peace from God our Father right now. As this word is being preached, as you hear His word, as you pray to Him, as you receive His body and blood, grace given, peace given right now. You are not lacking in any gift, nothing. You are not right now lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You come guilty, you come empty, you come unsure of the answers to give your family, your friends, and the world. You come angry and you come hurt right now, and you hear right now of God's grace in the present time, in the present place. Today, God is involved as well. And tomorrow He will be. Jesus Christ will sustain you to the end. Future stuff. You will be guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Guiltless? Considering the poverty of my heart, considering the poverty of my speech, and considering the same for you, guiltless, blameless, pure and holy. How amazing is that? That you will hear on the day it is God who justifies, who is to condemn. And with that, all uncertainty that you have passes away. God is the actor in the past. He baptized you. He is the actor in the present. You are baptized. And He is the answer, the actor in the future, that the declaration of baptism, holy and blameless in Christ Jesus, you have died, will continue on throughout all of your life. And so what are we supposed to do? Give thanks that He is the actor. Give thanks that everything that we have comes from His hand. The material, the spiritual, the joys, the good, the people, and the bad, the suffering. I give thanks for the suffering that has been appointed to you, because from it you learn endurance and you learn hope. And the only other thing that we Christians are called to do in this particular reading is wait. Do not despair of what is happening here and now. You wait for the Lord Jesus Christ in His day, the hope in which every tear will pass away, the hope in which there will be no longer suffering. You wait. And while you don't despair, you also don't cling to the things that pass away. One pastor likes to say, as you look at a dollar bill, you notice that it has wings so that you know that it can fly away. And you do the same for everything in your life, your family, your friends, your job, everything that we so often cling to so tightly as we wait. We let loose just a little bit, knowing that the thing in which we cling to, His word, will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, our Lord Jesus says, but my word will not pass away. And as we wait, we receive in Thanksgiving today the most wonderful gift. The gift in which our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which He was betrayed, took bread and He gave thanks. And gave it to them saying, "This, communion with me, fellowship with me, oneness with me, may this enrich you in your speech and in your knowledge, testifying of me, promising once again, over and over again, that God is faithful. He will sustain you to the end, guiltless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen.
Oh God.